And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples man made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of all the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. What a wonderful day it is to be together in God's house. Aren't you glad that God led you here today? I'm so glad you're here. Thank God for these graduates. Can I have just a word, just three things to the graduates? Number one, believe God. Number two, dream big. And number three, work hard. And you're on the road to success. I'm so glad to see all of you. I'm especially glad to see one of my dear friends and his dear wife. Richard, would you and Janie stand up? Richard and Janie Myers, longtime friends, long time served our church in business matters, and we're so happy to have you with us today. May God bless you. And I'm glad you're here too. I couldn't call all of you names. Number one, I don't know all of them. But to all of you, welcome and God bless you in this hour. You already know that one of my favorite beatitudes is blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. So I've used enough runway. What do you say? Let's get airborne. The engine's all revved up. Looks like that the runway is clear. So open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about. In the book of Acts, chapter number 10, as you're finding your place in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, I would remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of God endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and I'm happy that it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a wonderful book. What an awesome God we serve. I'm going to read from this wonderful book, Acts chapter 10. I begin at verse number 34. I will finish at verse number 43. I hope you have your Bible, you found your place, and I'm going to read after we pray. Now, Father, we are so grateful today for your kindness to us and blessings, for this Lord's Day, for these dear graduates that have come to this point in their lives to launch out into a new chapter. Guide them, direct them, lead them in every area of their lives. Bless their families that have made it possible. Our youth pastor and his wife and all the youth workers and our own pastor. And those who have a part investing in their lives, some from very childhood, right in this church, I pray you would be with them and bless them. Now, bless the reading of your word. If there be those without the Savior today, may they come to know him and trust him. If there are those who are heavy-hearted, carrying a heavy load and a burden today, maybe been oppressed by Satan this week, bring them, I pray, victory in their hearts. Lift the burden, save the lost, claim the backslider. Bless your word. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word I say he knew, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lamb of God for sinners slain. He's the lily of the valley, and no other lily has his purity. He's the rose of Sharon, and no other rose has his fragrance. He's the bright and morning star, and no other star has his brilliance. He's the rock of ages, and no other rock has his solidarity. He's the light of the world, and no other light has his brightness. He's the bread of life, and no other bread has his flavor. He's the good shepherd, and no other shepherd has his tenderness. He's the refuge of the soul, and no other refuge has his safety. He's the King of glory, and no other king has his majesty. The King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm of the persuasion that if you could put a pointer in the hand of every Old Testament prophet and every New Testament apostle, they would all point to Jesus. If you could put a brush in the hand of every Christian artist, they would all paint a portrait of Jesus. If you could put a pen in the hand of every Christian writer, they would all write the story of Jesus. If you could put music in the heart of every Christian singer, they would all sing a song of Jesus. If you could put a Bible in the hand of every God-called preacher, I believe all of them would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see Jesus today. I don't want you to see Raymond Barber. I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I've entitled this message, The Truth About Jesus, Part 1. I will preach Part 2 tonight at 6 o'clock. That's my invitation for you to be back at 6 o'clock. Nobody could tell the truth about Jesus in one sermon, so I'm going to try it in two. I submit in the first place that the truth about Jesus is this, that God, now watch this, in Jesus accepts all who trust in him. Look again at Peter's word in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, underscore those two words, every nation, he that feareth him or trusteth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul wrote, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not a national God or a provincial God or a tribal God. God is the God of the universe, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When God loved the world, he loved the whole world, the whole inhabited earth. The most beautiful love story in all the world is John 3:16. I like to think of it as a Bible in miniature, just 25 words written in red. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let it be known to all persons present and to all men everywhere, the door of salvation is open to all men everywhere, regardless of name or nationality, regardless of color or creed, regardless of state or status, regardless of race or religion. Did you notice a while ago the scripture that I quoted from Peter on the day of Pentecost? He concluded his powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost with these all-inclusive words. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul built upon that truth in Romans chapter 10 at verse 13 with virtually the same words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To me, it's interesting to note that the Bible opens and closes with an invitation to salvation and all the way in between. Genesis 7:1, opening. God said to Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark. The closing invitation, Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Ladies and gentlemen, God's gift of salvation is free. Jesus paid it all. You and I can't pay anything for our salvation. We can't work our way to God. Jesus did it all at the cross. And salvation is free for you today. I see in the second place the truth about Jesus. He is Lord of all. Look at the last five words in verse 36. He is Lord of all. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord of all nations, all principalities, all peoples, all of the inhabitants of the earth and heaven and everywhere. He is Lord of all, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Number three, I just have 33 of these, so sit back. I'm just kidding. The truth about Jesus, watch it now. He's the great deliverer of all who are oppressed of the devil. I'm speaking to some today that are in the throes of Satan, the clutches of Satan. He's oppressing you. Let me give you a warning that you, listen, every person in this room is on the devil's most wanted list. Let me caution you with the words of the Apostle Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, prowleth about, seeking whom he may devour. Please, my friend, understand that if you are in the clutches of Satan this morning, if you're being oppressed by him, please stay tuned, because I've got good news for you. It's found in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 10, Paul wrote, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which, now watch this next word, delivered, that's past tense, delivered us from the wrath to come. That, ladies and gentlemen, is already accomplished. In the Revelation chapter 6, John wrote, and I beheld When he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake. The sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. And every mountain and every island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the mighty men, and the chief captains, and the bondmen, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne." Now watch this. "And from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great wrath of his come." The great wrath of his is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, thank God we're already standing, because the wrath of God's not going to fall on believers. It's a past tense. Delivered us from the wrath to come. Number four, the truth about Jesus. He died on the cross. You know how God proved his love? He proved it at the top of the hill, when our Lord Jesus Christ took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Look at verse 39. "Whom they slew and hanged on a tree." Now, in our Western culture, we don't know much about the curse of being hanged on a tree. But in yonder's culture, when Paul was writing in Galatians 3:13, he put it this way: "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written," and here he quoted from Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23, "it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Ladies and gentlemen, it all took place at Calvary. Luke 22:23 and verse 33 says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him." The prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, wrote in his 53rd chapter, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Could I tell you, my friend, that every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that I've ever committed, every sin that the 13 billion people who have lived on this earth since it started, every sin, every iniquity, every transgression was laid on him. And thank God he opened not his mouth. He didn't complain about it. He bore our sins in his own body. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," that is God, "hath made him," that is Christ, "sin for us, that we," he who knew no sin. Did you get that? Jesus was spotless. He was perfect. He knew no sin, yet he took our sins upon him. He was made sin at the cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ladies and gentlemen, it all took place at a place called Calvary, the cross. Thank God. Hallelujah for the cross. It will never, never, no, never suffer loss. Number five, the truth about Jesus is he rose from the dead. I love this, don't you? You know, the grave couldn't contain the Son of God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation stone of Christianity. Did you know it was mentioned 100 times in the New Testament? Look at verse 40. "Him God raised up the third day." Now, the Apostle Paul, like an attorney, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, argues the case of the resurrection. Please don't miss a word of this. Paul wrote, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are still in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. That loved one that you led out to the cemetery last week, last month, last year, whenever. A precious father and a precious mother and a precious little baby, precious child. They're all perished if Jesus did not rise from the dead. If in this life only, Paul said, we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Please don't miss these next two words. But now, underscore those words, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Would you look with me one more place, one more time? I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the truth about Jesus. And the truth about Jesus is this. He forgives all who believe in him. He will forgive you this morning, my friend. You say, but preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how deep in sin I've gone. But listen, my friend, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. You cannot run fast enough to get out of the reaches of God's grace, the love of Christ that passes all understanding. Verse 43. Paul said to him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever, there's that word again. Don't you like that word, preacher? Folks, you like that word, whosoever? And whosoever goes to Jerusalem, no. Whosoever makes a pilgrimage to Rome, no. Whosoever goes to Mecca, Medina, no. Whosoever goes to the baptism, no. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That word remission has a root word, remit. Remit has a threefold meaning. Number one, it means a dismissal. Jesus dismissed our sins at Calvary. It means, in the second place, release. Jesus released us from our sins at Calvary. And the capstone of it all, and I love this, that word remit means removal. Jesus removed our sins far away from us. Did I hear somebody ask, how far, preacher? Well, now let the psalmist answer that in 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, you're a smart-looking group out here today, most of you. I want to ask you a question. Is there anybody in this room that can tell me how far it is from the east to the west? The poet said, east is east, and west is west, and never the twain shall meet. Hallelujah. Jesus has moved my sin so far from me, I will never meet them again. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if we could work our way, only thing we'd have left, if we work and work and work and work, our fingers to the bone, all we'll ever have is bony fingers. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Jesus is here to save you today if you're lost. He's here to relieve your burden and to set you free from the grip of Satan, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Would you stand with me, please, as we pray together? Our heads are bowed. The altar's open. The invitation has begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. How rich is grace, no pen or tongue can tell. How rich is grace, he saved me from hell. How rich is grace, his pardon I received. How rich is grace the moment I believed. Are you here today without the Savior while every head's bowed? We're not going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. We just want to help you. You're here today and you're not sure, absolutely sure, 100% sure, that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. If you don't know that, you can know it. If you'll step out of your seat right now, come to the front. There'll be someone to take the word of God and show you how you can know that you are saved and on your way to heaven. Isn't that fair enough? If you're here today under a heavy burden, the devil has been kicking you around and oppressing you, remember, he has come that he can deliver from the oppression of Satan. Would you come and just ask God to forgive you again? The men and the choir sang it a while ago. Forgive you again. Right now, this moment, I'm going to pray. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in the invitation appeal. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. May men know that Jesus Christ receives sinful men. That's why he came, to call sinners to repentance. May someone answer that question today. Take their stand for Christ, or take their stand in the church as a new member, or just come and pray and thank you for Jesus. Just say, dear God, I thank you for Jesus. Just turn around and go back to your seat. Oh, I know you can do it there, but you'd feel better about it if you knelt before him. Father, I pray that you'd speak to every heart. Those that may not know Christ, may they come. Those that have the heavy burden, oppressed of Satan, may they come. Some that need to unite with the church, may they come. In Jesus' name I pray.